Well, hello, folks. It's Joe Clark again at the church at Briarfield. How is everybody? If you're not doing well, I haven't heard much about it. We've been monitoring the computer and the face page, and we haven't seen anything much. But our prayer list this week consists of Sandy Gillen, who has some of the symptoms of this virus. And Hattie Harless is getting over the pneumonia. And Lee Tate, that was in the wreck and got burned so awfully bad, is recovering. Jasper Carden, Ann Snow's pastor out at Underwood, is recovering from a staph infection he's been hospitalized for. And Gertrude White is still recovering from her brain tumor surgery. And we don't want to forget Jim and Twan and Kay Crumley. Let's please remember our own people. And as you pray, pray for this group here at the church at Briarfield. Because we very much all need each other's prayers in this time when we're all a little bit anxious, I guess, about this stuff that's going around. We've had three or four cases in Montevallo we know of, and a couple of suspects, people who have come in contact with them, so we know about them. But so far, they say that there has been no cases, confirmed cases, in Bibb County. In the way of notifications, I've just learned from Anthony that Kay Ivey, our governor, yesterday on Saturday, or yesterday on Friday, I'm sorry, today's Saturday, we're recording this on Saturday afternoon, so it'll be out early enough on Sunday morning, but Anthony was just telling me that Kay Ivey said Friday that she's shutting down the state for meetings until the 17th of April. I have not had a chance to meet with the other leaders of the church, but I'm quite sure that they would be in agreement, as we were when the president gave us 15 days, that if our governor says, let's hold up for two more Sundays, then they'll be for doing that. So I'm taking the authority, if you will, with only half a leadership board convening, that we will be not having meetings the next two Sundays, which will be the about the 6th and the 13th. So that's what I have. The weather has been very, very nice this past week. I hope some of you have been able to enjoy it and still remain quarantined. I hope, too, that we're all still doing the things that our leadership have asked us to do in the way of making ourselves as less vulnerable as we can be to this epidemic, this pandemic, they call it, that's going around. I had to look those words up. I've heard them all my life, but they say epidemic is in one area and pandemic is throughout the whole world and involving a lot of people, so this is a pandemic. So I hope you're not a part of that. And I'm encouraging everybody, please, to sterilize your hands and your doorknobs and your hard surfaces in your homes. And please try to stay away from anybody that you don't come in contact with on a daily basis. Please try to stay away from them at least 6 feet. That is pretty much what I have as far as announcements and prayer requests. We are going back to the scripture in Acts. This day we will be starting at chapter 8 and verse 1. But before we go there, let's pray. Father, you know full well that we are a needy people. You see the situation that we're in now as far as this virus is concerned. You know all about that because you are in charge of so many of the plagues and all in the Old Testament. And we know you know exactly what's happening with each one of us. We pray, Lord, for protection. We pray that you prepare us for the at least harassment of this problem and Lord, for the condition in case it's your will that we happen to get it. Lord, make us responsible for ourselves and where we go and who we come in contact with. Make us learn as much as we can about this disease that we may avoid it. Lord, we see that you are still working in the community around us. As this very sermon last week, I've gotten word that people were referring people outside of our church to hear this sermon, and that they did. So thank you for this. And we see that you're still working among us even when we don't always realize it, but we thank you, Lord, for having people listen to this word of yours that otherwise on a regular Sunday probably wouldn't have heard it. We thank you, Lord, for bringing families closer together in this time. We thank you, Lord, for changing our minds. The sermon today is on repenting. And we thank you, Lord, for changing our minds about the whole world around us and making sure that we get back to the simpler things of life and giving priority to those things that need priority and a firm relationship with you being one of them. Lord, I thank you for seeing more word about you on our television and for Franklin Graham coming on more than I've seen him in a while. That Fox has been showing the passion of the Christ. And Lord, I thank you for all that this has brought about in the way of change in our lives. Make us responsible, Lord, to you, that we may take time to further what we know about you and that we might keep up with each other and each other's needs and provide for them. Make us available, Lord, to those folks that need help. Forgive us for our sins. Give us the strength to stand up and to speak boldly for you and our relationship with you. Thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you will turn in your Bibles now to the 8th chapter of Acts and verse 1, it says, "And Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." I thought that was interesting. The everyday, if you can call it that, Christians in Jerusalem had been persecuted and scattered throughout the surrounding countries, mainly in Judea and Samaria. And the apostles were still in Jerusalem, but so many of the other people who believed had gotten out of town because of the persecution that the church, the Jewish church, was giving the group of Christians. And it says in verse 2, "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling or binding up and men and women and committing them to prison. This was the work of Saul, who later became Paul, and it's the first mention of him here in the book of Acts, who later is to become probably the leading, one of the leading characters, at least with Peter and John, of this whole book. We see that Saul becomes Paul, who was the one who taught us how to operate our churches and by what guidelines you wanted them run by. So we'll see about his conversion later, but we see now that he is causing these Christians a great deal of trouble for the Jewish leadership. And it says in verse 4, that therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now we know that preaching is no more than speaking aloud about you, God, with inspiration from you. So every one of them wasn't called to preach. They were just telling about their relationship with you, which we, every one of us today, is called to do every time we have an opportunity. Then it says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city of Samaria. And it says in verse 9, the first mention of a man called Simon, which is the title of our sermon today. It's about repenting, but it's about the man Simon. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Now it's an interesting thing, we don't see that in this part of the United States. But so many people from Central and South America and Mexico have shared with me that all the small villages down in that area have a witch doctor, a man they call a brujo, which is a male witch, who is in charge of taking hexes off and putting hexes on and giving people good luck and doing all kind of things for money, which they believe he has the power to do. And from what I can understand, Satan has given a lot of these men down in that part of the world the power to do these things, the magic to do them, because they're real things that they do. And I've been told also that in probably most of the small villages that this will be the only person who drives a Cadillac, because he's the richest man in town, because of their superstitions and how much they pay him to keep them in a state of good luck. Well, this man called Simon had gotten a very high degree of regard from his people, because he was telling them just what a great fellow he was, and he was doing all kinds of magic for them, and they were paying him to do it. Well, it says in verse 12, but when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So the people that were hearing Philip's preachings were believing him, and he was baptizing them. Then Simon, in verse 13, himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wandered, beholding the ministries and signs which were done. It says he wandered. He stayed with Philip. He hung around and joined the group and went with them everywhere. And it seemed that he was fascinated by the miracles and the healings that Philip was doing in the name of the Lord. But it says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet the Holy Ghost had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you remember the people who were baptized by John the Baptist did not receive the Holy Spirit, and nor did some of these who were baptized only in the name of Jesus. So then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost also. Now remember, he offered them money to be able to have the power to give other people the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit by laying his hands on them. But up in verse 13, it said that he believed and was also baptized. So he's a believer. And he's been baptized. So he's a Christian. Simon is also a Christian, converted out of witchcraft. But it seems that he stepped too far here. But Peter said unto him, verse 20, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken will come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now, we see that a former witch who had been converted to Christ got caught up in this thing of the miracles that Philip was doing among the people. The miracles in the name of Jesus. God, we know, had given him the power to do that in order to confirm to the people who were hearing them that they were of God and not just another man. If you remember, Jesus' message was to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Peter's message to Simon was also repent. Now it seems to me that the early Christians of that day put a great deal more emphasis on this action of repenting than we do today. I mean, we witness to people about walking the aisle and shaking the preacher's hand and saying a prayer with the preacher, being baptized and joining the church. But in those days, it was a very big thing for those who had Jesus Christ and were sharing him with others that the others repent. This was a different idea. The Christians of this day, They had sold what they had and shared with everybody in the church, you remember? Their hearts were right. But Simon said, or Peter told Simon, that he was wrong in this matter, or wasn't going to be allowed in this matter, because his heart did not belong to God. The word repent simply means to change your mind. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 7, I believe. Yes, verse 7. Jesus makes a comment and said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me, near unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now Jesus made the comment that there was a group of people who were talking him up and had a certain amount of regard for him, but he said their hearts weren't right with God. So this issue comes down to not just some mechanical thing, activity about walking down an aisle and shaking a preacher's hand and joining a church and admitting publicly that you are born again. It comes down to a change of heart. And I think that's what Jesus has said, that we would become new creatures, that no more we were the old man, and people would be able to look at us and tell that we were new because we repented. We didn't act like the old man because we changed our mind about what was God and what wasn't God. We changed our mind about God, about ourselves, and about sin in general. We think of completely different about it than we did before. So it says that Peter said, in verse 21, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter." I think he's talking about here the matter of ministering for God. I think what he's telling Simon here is, at this point, with this problem in his life, with this sin in his life, that he's not fit to minister for Jesus Christ and go along with them like they're doing. So I don't believe that when he says, "Thou money perish with thee," that it meant he was damning him to hell. It already said he believed and was baptized, so I think Simon was a Christian, but I do think what Peter was telling Simon was this, that you have a wrong attitude about money and the kingdom of heaven, and the importance that you give to money in your mind is going to last just as long as you do, because other people don't consider money that important. And when you go, that the importance of your money will go with you. But this brings us to another issue. There are people today who have believed and have been baptized who have not changed their minds to believe everything Jesus taught. We know, especially like in a church like this, where we have all kinds of church backgrounds, that people come into a meeting believing all kinds of different things. But yet in the 17th chapter of John, Jesus said he wants us all unified in our beliefs. So then that creates a situation to where we have to repent and change our minds about some of the things that have been taught us, and change it to what to go along with what Jesus is saying in his word. I've known for some years that I've had to change a lot of my early beliefs that I was taught early on in the church, because I have learned since, upon studying the Bible myself, I found out that that's not what it said. So I have repented over and over and over, and probably am doing it yet today, learning more and more things that make me go along with Jesus on what he said and what God believed and what God was and about God and about myself. So I'm still learning. Very seldom I stand and preach to you on a Sunday morning that I don't share something with you that I have learned in the last 2 weeks. So there are people today who believe wrong things. It's not compatible with God's scripture. They don't believe all the things that he taught about God and themselves or sin. And Christians who sin may be sorry for what they did. We see people who are sorry when you bring up what they've done. I've heard it said many times that they didn't know whether they were sorry for being caught or sorry for exactly what they did. But they didn't seem to be sorry until they were caught. So apparently, some are sorry for their sins without being caught. But this being sorry for the things that you know you have done wrong and being made aware of that is not repentance. Repentance is changing your mind. As long as you keep the same ideas that you've had all along, that's not repentance. Even though you are sorry for the things you did that you recognize go against God and what he believes. I think Simon was redeemed. I think God had purchased him with the blood of Jesus Christ, and I think he was a Christian. But I believe he still had a problem as it concerned this issue right here, this thing about the importance of money in this whole kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven thing. It says over in Acts chapter 2, I believe in verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So you see, Peter said it first, repent and accept Christ and be baptized and believe. But repent first. You're going to have to be ready to change your mind. And that's what we all have to be ready for, is to change our mind as we see and learn what God would have us do it. There are Christians today, saved and baptized, who have not committed themselves to believing all the things that Jesus taught. Their hearts are not right, according to this scripture here. They are holding on stubbornly to beliefs that they have been taught are not correct. Their hearts are not right toward God. And this may be the reason that God is not using them in his ministry. We see a lot of folks who stubbornly hold to things that are very controversial. They have good, godly men who have taught them things that, to the effect that those are not right, but they hang on to them. And that might be the reason that God finds it very rarely he's able to use them in this ministry for fear that they might lead somebody astray. And Peter telling Simon that his attitude about the importance of money would only last as long as he did. I think that's what he meant by the word perish. I don't think he meant to damn him to hell. But Peter said, Simon, change your mind and ask God to forgive you, because you still have a bitterness and Satan is influencing your thinking. even implied this with what he told him down in verse 21 and 22. For I perceive that thou art in the gall or bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. He's trapped by sin. And the only way to get out of that, you and I both know, is to repent, to change your mind, and to ask God to forgive you. And God will forgive you. He says he will. So I think that the point of this story, it is if you are a Christian and you have some beliefs that you know are controversial, you should examine and satisfy your mind about these beliefs to know that what you believe is compatible with God's scriptures. Jesus has promised us that he will tell us anything we don't know if we seek to know it. So I would say to you on a personal basis that if you know that you believe in something that you know is controversial, that you make an effort on your part to get right with God. Now we know that God wants your mouth and he wants your respect, Christians, but when he has your heart and it's right, he has everything you possess. The reason I said that those Christians who sold what they had and shared with each other, their hearts were right. Because you see, I've been told, I've heard old folks say years ago, that God does not have a man till he has all he possesses. Well, the way to have all he possess is to have your heart. Because Scripture says where your treasures are, there your heart is also. So we show what our priorities are by the way we act and the priority we give things in our life. And we know that stubbornness is a satanic characteristic. It's not one of those things that are the gift of the Spirit. So that if we are treated properly by the Spirit, if we are open to the Spirit and the Spirit's working in our lives, we will have those qualities that enable God not only to use us in his ministry for Jesus Christ and his church, but he might bless us also, and that we might live a blessed life for being a result of the Holy Spirit working on us, changing our mind, causing us to repent of the old man and everything that he used to be part of, and opening up our hearts to God and the Scripture and the Holy Spirit that they might change us with a renewing of our mind, like chapter 12 of Romans says, that we might become a new man, a man that God can use, and that our hearts would be right. It's just a process in the normal growing and sanctification of a person who has professed faith in Jesus Christ. So today I say to you, whoever happens to be listening to this, if you're somebody who's not one of our regular members, if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior, please today, people, if you're in a state of anxiety because of the way the world is going, you can have peace, Jesus says, through me, if you believe in me and turn your life over to me. So I pray today that you might pray to God through Jesus Christ that you might be saved and born again. And for our people, I pray that you would always be aware. Even at 6 feet, they can hear you. That you would be aware of those people who are around you that might be professing that they don't know Jesus. Please share him with those people God brings you in contact with. I'm sure God will protect you even in that sense for spreading his word, for sharing his son and our Savior with people who don't know him. So folks, in this time of a little bit of tightness and anxiety maybe, Jesus says we can have peace through him because he's overcome all this stuff. He's overcome the whole world. So whatever happens to us in this world, if we're hooked up to Jesus, we're going to be okay. We may even catch some of this stuff. We'll still be okay. We may be imposed on because of the things that are going on, and we're still okay. So, Lord, I pray today that you might give us strength and give us boldness and give us faith that we don't fear what this world is handing to us, that we pray for and love one another, that we might hold each other up in this group. And as we now see that we're not going to be seeing each other maybe for the next couple of Sundays, I'll see you again next Sunday with a new message, the Lord willing. And hold on. Hold on tight to God's hand. I miss the singing we have here, but you can sing at home. So sing praises to your God. And Lord, we thank you for making us part of your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.